This is the Clarion Report, watching, reporting and counteracting global terrorism.
Shiraswersky, a very, very good, Shiraswersky, a very good morning to you. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you, Howard.
Good. Well, they're giving us a hard time today, so I hope we're just going to, you know, it's just going to be easy sailing from now on. Of course, not for the South Africans who were caught up in Egypt, but everybody else. Just, we've been trying to figure out what is really going on in this region. We've seen Egypt struggling with its tourism industry. It's trying to get everything back on track. We've had one terror attack yesterday, then again, another attack. 28 South Africans now confirmed to have been caught up in that event. Most of them are back. Four, unfortunately, remain in Egypt, three of which are of whom are injured. But what is the situation there? How do we understand it?
Well, I think that we understand it, that it's part of a global and certainly a regional conflict. We've got the upsurge of ISIS in that area, that we've seen just in the last week, and especially on the weekend, we've seen attacks in Niger, Libya, Syria, Iraq, and Egypt. All ISIS and all part of this global network. And I think one of the things that we've seen is like a renewed vigor in the group from getting some kind of energy from their caliph, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, who surfaced, you know, just a short while ago and put out that video.
Yes. So is this back to being part of ISIS? I mean, we led to believe that ISIS is, well, just a thing of the past now.
So that's what the media would like you to believe, and certain governments would like you to believe that. But at Clarion Project, we are constantly telling people with the facts that that is just not true. It is true that in Syria and Iraq, that their territory has shrunk. But if you even look at the map, we have a map up on clarionproject.org of all these ISIS attacks, a weekend roundup of ISIS attacks, May 20th. You'll see that they still have power in the same place in Iraq that they did. Obviously not as much, but the people who were able to scatter, scattered. And the people who are already out there have a lot of renewed energy to show that the group is relevant. It is certainly not over, and it will never be over until the ideology is stamped out.
Why do you think the media has a need to convince us dangerously, in fact, irresponsibly, that something is over when it really isn't?
That is a very good question. I think it just, first of all, I think it feeds into their Islamophobia narrative, if I could say, that, you know, we hear of so many Islamist terrorist attacks, and it's really nice if we could, like, not hear about this stuff anymore, and then we wouldn't feel like, you know, every Muslim is a terrorist, which of course nobody feels that way, but people need to be concerned about the radical branch, the extreme branch, and that still needs to be addressed. And I just think that it's politically inconvenient for people to keep addressing that.
What always bothers me is that very old saying and almost a cliche that says if we can't name it, then we certainly can't tame it. If we are unable to call this out, how on earth do we think we're going to be dealing with this?
Right, exactly. And so that was our big concern during the Obama administration, was that they refused to name it. They refused to call it out for what it was, that radical Islamist terrorists. And it was very, very refreshing when Trump took over and, you know, he went to Saudi Arabia and he just laid everything on the table. And that's what needs to be done to be able to fight it. We put up a very interesting video with our guy Ryan Morrow and Sebastian Gorka, who used to work for the White House in counterintelligence, talking about comparing, like, what we need to do to win both the physical war but the ideological war, just like we defeated the Soviet Union and Communist China. These kind of ideological wars are very, very important to be fought to stamp out the root of the violence.
Yeah, I'm just actually on your site at the moment, clarionproject.org, and there's an incredible amount of information, and I am going to urge listeners to go and look at it. Go and look at the maps. Look at there's a focus on the United States as well. There's some very interesting videos in this regard, and you would do well to educate yourself through the aid of people like the Clarion Project as to what is going on around the world. Do you think there's a chance of getting this Egyptian thing under control now? You're saying in fact, I've got Major David Katz, a military strategist from the South African Defense Force in studio, and he's saying he doesn't see this getting under control in that region anytime soon. Your thoughts?
Well, I think it's going to be very interesting to see what happens when Trump finally reveals his peace plan for the Middle East, and to see how the Sinai, which is a very big hotbed of this radicalization in Egypt, is going to be a part of this. If he's going to somehow like move Gazans into the Sinai, or something having to do with involving mm-hmm. Egypt, and certainly if that happens, I would imagine that America will be pouring lots of money into that area, and hopefully with that type of economic infusion and the kind of Trump spirit of not messing around with terrorism, maybe something can be done. That's our hope.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and that's where we leave it. Time is 8:52. That's Mary Spursky from the Clarion Project. Thank you as always. Go and have a look at their website for more information. I'm Howard Feldman. I'd love to hear from you. 34519 or 0618951019.